Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
You're listening to All the Shit I've Learned Abroad. I'm Andrea Gillis.
And I'm Steph Page. We're two Canadian expats now living in Australia and the UK.
Between the two of us, we've been through the ringer in our travels, experiencing missed flights, volcanic eruptions, and even a terrorist attack.
It's not all that extreme, though. We've also experienced heartwarming, life-changing moments and met amazing people along the way. So kick back and listen to All the Shit I've Learned Abroad.
Welcome to another episode of All the Shit I've Learned Abroad. I'm Andrea.
And I'm Steph.
Hi, Steph. How are you?
I am wonderful. How are you?
I'm good. It is super early for you today, and yes, it's not actually that late here, but we've gone into our daylight savings in the UK. So it's that time of year where everything gets dark by 4 p.m. and, you know, the seasonal depression kicks in.
Well, the global time change works in my favor in Australia because now all my clients in the US and UK are a bit more reasonably timed.
Exactly. So yeah, it's only like 6:30 here, but it's been dark for like 3 hours. And I was having this thought today while I was kind of like, oh, it's getting, you know, just getting into that winter mode. I was like, I haven't really done a whole lot of traveling this year. I was kind of like looking back.
Well, I wonder why.
Well, exactly. And I was kind of getting a bit sad about it. But then obviously I remembered that.
Yes. Drum roll, please.
For our longtime listeners, Steph and I have talked about doing a Canadian road trip for so long now.
Yes.
We're both from Canada, and we've never, like, it's just, we're like, why have we never done that? We love a road trip. Why have we not explored our own home country? And we're finally doing it.
Yes, we are. Can I just say to Andrea, I love you, because this all started because, you know, Australia opened up, so I was looking at flights. And flights to Toronto were ridiculous. Like, price, layovers, transit hours. But flights to Vancouver were direct. And I was like,
yep,
I will fly to Vancouver and drive to Toronto only if Andrea will do it with me.
Yeah. So this is all over Christmas time, which I was kind of on the fence about going home at Christmas this year. Again, just because I went home in August, and it was just a bit of a faff with all the tests you have to take, and it's really expensive. And I was like, maybe I'll skip Christmas again this year. But then Steph came to the rescue and said,
I called you and I'm like, so this sounds crazy. Hear me out. Think on it. Don't say no right away. But what if we do a road trip? And you had a flight booked in 3 hours.
So Steph was like, I'm booking a flight to Vancouver and then I'm going to drive to Toronto. And I'm like, I'm there with you. So I booked a flight home to Toronto, but then I'm going to fly out. So for those of you that maybe aren't familiar with Canadian geography, Toronto and Vancouver are like on the opposite ends of the country. Yeah. It's like a 4 hour flight.
It's Perth to Melbourne, basically.
So it's pretty far, but I'm going to fly out just after Christmas, so the 27th, I think, and I'm going to meet Steph in Vancouver, which is very exciting because we haven't seen each other in, God, almost, it'll be almost 2 years at that point.
Yeah, March 2020.
Which is wild. Last time we saw each other, we were in bed with COVID.
Sick in bed. the whole time.
So hopefully, fingers crossed, this one, this time when we see each other, it'll be a little bit more uplifting. But yeah, so we're going to do the drive from Vancouver to back home to Toronto, or near Toronto anyways. But yeah.
So before we get into, you know, how the new normal of post-COVID travel, I also want to tell our listeners about a competition we're launching as this episode airs.
Woo, this is our first competition. I'm surprised we haven't done one before, but we thought this is such a good opportunity for our Aussie listeners who are now out of lockdown, happy days.
Yeah.
And we wanted to share in the excitement with you guys.
And I always knew I really, if we ever did something like this, I really wanted to just have it be with Red Balloon because I love them and I've used them. Honestly, for so many of the big adventure type things I post, I've booked on Red Balloon. So they were who came to mind first, and that's how it's going down. So you can all win a $250 Red Balloon gift voucher for any adventure of your choice across Australia. And there's a number of ways you can enter. So all you have to do is go to our social media accounts, and you will find all the different ways you can enter. By commenting on posts, liking photos, all those social things will give you entries.
I feel bad for our UK and like US and Canadian listeners. Sorry, guys, this one's not for you. But we'll have one maybe down the line
coming
for
up,
you guys.
Coming up.
But for this one's for the Aussies because you guys have been in lockdown longer than I think anybody.
The rest of the world.
Like how many days was it? Like 280?
Here in Melbourne, 263 days
Jeez.
Of hard lockdown. Like, not just UK kind of air quotes lockdown.
Yeah. Ours was a bit, we're in lockdown, but are we really?
Exactly. Yes. So go enter that, everyone.
And whoever is the winner, obviously we want to know what you guys end up doing with the voucher because we just love hearing about your adventures as much as we love sharing our adventures with you. So I'm super excited. I'm almost jealous that I can't enter this contest myself. But
I know. When I was talking to the social person at Red Balloon, I was like, can I win my own contest? And they were like, step in.
Conflict of interest.
Yeah.
But yeah, so very cool. So as Steph said, visit our socials, follow the instructions there, and enter to win. Exciting times. So going back to you, let's talk about our road trip. And I feel like actually, Steph, you have been the planner in this.
Yes.
No surprise. 100%.
You're showing up.
Yeah, I'm just showing up and that's cool. But it's, I can imagine if we were planning this 2-3 years ago, it probably would have been a little bit easier, bit more straightforward. We probably could have kind of done it and just winged it a bit, but we can't this time around. This is the new normal. We're kind of realizing now, hey, this is a new way of planning.
So to jump right in, first things first is to bypass hotel quarantine. Thankfully, we're both fully vaccinated, so we don't have to worry about any quarantine requirements. But if you're not fully vaccinated for whatever reason, that is something you need to consider no matter what country you're going to. What are their quarantine? Some countries don't care. Some do. That's going to be the first thing you're looking at is, will I have to quarantine or not on arrival? Second thing, and you've already been through this going to Canada. Every country has different rules, but what are their COVID testing requirements? Because we are going to have to get a PCR test within 72 hours of our flight to touch down in Canada to show that it's negative.
Yeah. So I had to do that going home, and I still find, and I'm hoping that, again, as we are kind of easing into this new normal, that I found when I was doing my research, it wasn't that straightforward. It was very confusing trying to understand how far in advance, like, even, you know, I was speaking to a friend of mine, he's like, oh, it's 72 hours from when you land, not depart. And I'm like, well, whoa, that's very different. If you have, like, you know, a 10-hour flight, or in your case, flying to Vancouver is what?
17 hours.
Like, you know, and it turned out that wasn't true. It was, 72 hours from departure. But just even little nuances like that were very confusing, and it was very, and I was getting overwhelmed with it, and I was like, oh my God, like, what, when do I have to get this test, and then who do I book it through? It has to be through, you know, a listed,
like approved provider kind of dealio.
So you need to look into this.
Same thing. I guess a lot of Aussies have run into this issue now traveling as everything opens up, in that they're just assuming, because we have drive-through testing sites where you can go through, get a test, and that is not the same as a PCR test.
No,
so
totally different.
Just getting the, you know, government issued drive-through test result doesn't qualify. And, you know, if you go into the forums, you'll see people posting things like, because I've been following the forums for a while in case I had to get home for an emergency, but people say things like, oh, I did the drive-through test and it was fine. No one questioned it. And it's like, yeah, but that was that agent at that moment. Like, you can't give that advice to everyone, because other people are having their tests rejected and saying, sorry, you can't get on the plane. This doesn't qualify. So,
yeah, no, I know some people were doing that in the UK as well, where they were just taking like the lateral flow tests, like the ones that you can order for free. And they were showing up to the airport with these, and they're like, this is no, like, you need a proper PCR test. They're not free. I mean, in the UK, they run about £85, I think it was, something like that.
Yeah, they're not cheap.
I don't know. Yeah. So, yeah, you got to double check all of this. But thankfully for us, we're double vaxxed as Canadian citizens as well. Obviously, it makes it a bit easier. You have to check that as well. Make sure, like, what are the, you know, with certain countries, the entry requirements still, you know, for citizens or residents or non-residents, or if you're just there as a, yeah, as a tourist.
That's just to get into the country. But then for us, because we're going to be going through, you know, BC, Alberta, Saskatchewan, Manitoba, to get to Ontario. Some of the provinces have negative test requirements that you have to show at the border. So we're going to be getting multiple tests. We also need a test. We've booked some excursions in different provinces, and those activities want to see a negative test within 72 hours of the activity. So for us, it's not just going to be getting tested to touch down in Canada. We're going to be getting tested kind of every other day.
Yay, I can't wait.
It's going to be crazy. So huge consideration for cross-country road trip. And I could totally see Australia going that way. I mean, Western Australia already has that requirement of a negative test. And I can see all the other states going that way here too.
Is the U.S. the same? I mean, I'm not following really what's kind of going on in the states in terms of...
I don't think we can formally say what's going on in the U.S., but given the freedom of movement and their borders and just their attitude in general, like the differences culturally, I would imagine not. Yeah, everyone I know from the states is traveling state to state for concerts and doing all these things. Now, none of them, they'd be ragers if they had to do anything in that regard. Yeah.
So in terms of activities then, so Steph and I, we were like, we are going to plan some cool shit to do.
Absolutely.
And the same thing, there's, as you said, requirements in place, like still having to wear a face mask, which, you know, I've gotten pretty used to not wearing a mask now in the UK. Yeah. Like, again, we don't have to.
We still have face masks here.
Yeah. I mean, we're not required to. I still carry one with me. I know we've talked about this before. Like, if I feel, you know, like the other day, I was on the tube going into work and it was super busy. It was pretty crammed. And I'm like, do you know what? I'm going to wear a face mask. Whereas if I'm on an empty bus, yeah, fine. But, you know, it's just, yeah, having to do these activities and going back to getting used to wearing one. I mean,
I feel like all the Australian listeners right now are like, that sounds nice. Is we are still under mask requirements. They just announced outdoors we don't have to wear masks. Indoors, masks are mandatory everywhere.
Right. And so the activities we're doing, a lot of them are outdoors, and we still have to wear masks. Like, one of the things.
Andrea, we're going to be wearing masks anyways. We're going to be wearing, like, snow.
Like, actually.
What's the right word?
Like a ski mask.
Yeah. We're going to be fully covered anyways, so we're fine.
Yeah, do you know what? Now that you're saying this, this doesn't actually sound like the worst idea. No. I actually really liked wearing a mask in the winter because I find usually my skin gets really dry and my lips get really dry in the winter. But wearing a mask all winter, my lips were just like super moisturized all winter. Mm-hmm. Like I wasn't getting like the cold, horrible, you know, wind burn on them. So yeah, actually, regardless, we're going to be in like minus 30 degree weather at home in the middle of winter. I will quite happily wear a mask even for outdoor activities.
Yeah. And in terms of what else has changed for the activities, so I originally was thinking anyways, okay, we need to book everything ASAP. We're going to be in Banff for New Year's. Like this is very touristy. Banff, everyone goes there. So I was thinking we just need to book ASAP because it would sell out. Capacity differences. So
yeah,
they still do have capacity differences in terms of how many spots are sold. So now not only are you competing for, you know, the Christmas and the New Year's slots, you are competing. There's only half as many slots. So thankfully, I mean, everyone's just hearing about this now, but we started planning this early October.
Yeah.
And that was the first thing I said. I'm like, we need to book all our activities now or we're going to get there and there'll be nothing.
We're going to get there and just have nothing to do except just stand in the cold and the snow and go, why have we done this? This is not fun.
So in terms of what we're doing, I mean, we've got snowshoeing on Lake Louise booked. We've got dog sledding. We have, what else did we have? Oh, we booked a spa day.
Yes. I mean, a spa day is necessary. Let's talk about the dog sledding for a second. Cause this was one. So Steph and I, neither of us have done dog sledding. I get asked this quite a lot as a Canadian from like my British friends. Like, they're like, have you ever gone dog sledding? I'm like, no. And it's something I've always wanted to do. But then, you know, as Steph and I were talking about, we did an episode, oh God, was it last year? About ethical animal encounters. And we've been sort of researching this.
So I definitely looked into this because you and I had this conversation. It sounded fun, but we're like, is this something we're going to regret later? The way you kind of regret riding that elephant in Thailand. Like down the road, you think, oh, what? Like, so we were like, okay, we don't want to have that moment years later. It's much like Dr. Sally Sherman described when we did that episode with Suze Victoria about, you know, you need to know, it comes down to the provider. So how is the provider treating those animals? You know, are the dogs, like you can tell the difference between skinny, underfed, overworked dogs and healthy, you know, dogs who have this connection, who enjoy what they're doing. Like they're doing the work that their breed, you know, has that inner drive to do. And they're being well cared for. So for this, it was really doing our research to make sure we were booking with a company that really takes care of their animals. If one of their animals, you know, the morning of doesn't want to participate, they're not forcing it, tying it up and forcing it to do it. That if a dog wants a break, the dog gets the break.
And it's, I think, a really good thing since we've done that episode where we both learned so much. So again, if for those of you that haven't listened to that episode, take a listen. It's a really good one. It's really insightful. But these are things I probably would have never thought, like even thought twice about, you know? And I'm glad that we did the research. One of the things, they do have a weight limit for the dogs. And that was one of the things I'm like, okay, that has to be a good thing where they're like, hey, we've got however many dogs, but you can only weigh a certain amount because then it's obviously, you know, strenuous on the dog. So between Steph and I, we're trying to keep trim before we get for the dogs onto that dog side.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about United Healthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot.
we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
I think when we weighed ourselves, we're just slightly over the weight limit. So Steph and I are just trying to shed a few pounds before we go back, which is probably a good thing for us and a good thing for the dogs as well. But you know, as you said, like we get there, and you know, if we were over that weight limit, they would turn us away. I mean, I don't know. Do you think they will put us on a scale? Like, is it going to be like...
they said... So when I booked it, there was a tick box I had to tick. I couldn't book without it being ticked, saying, I understand that I will be weighed when I check in.
Yeah. So we're having that moment, that weigh-in moment. And bear in mind, though, as well, Steph, we are going to be wearing layers and layers of clothing, right? That adds weight. So...
Well, I don't think the way... Like, you do it inside... In the
no, I know, but I'm saying, you know, that 5 pounds we think we need to lose, maybe let's aim for like 8 pounds just in case.
All right, deal.
You know, those big parkas and you know, sweaters we're wearing and big woolly socks, those can add up, let me tell you. But yeah, so I'm excited about it. I feel, you know, good about the research that we did.
Yeah, no, I'm feeling good about it. I mean, there were a couple key questions they said to research, and it was, you know, how are those dogs treated on a daily basis, which I read up on. I feel really good because I didn't just read. Obviously, all the, you know, organizations are always going to say the right things on their websites, but read the reviews. If a company seems to be treating their animals poorly, people will write that in the reviews. How are the dogs fed? Which we don't know the nitty gritty, but like I said, you can tell looking at them, you know, are they fed or underfed? You can tell when a dog's a little too skinny. The rapport between the dogs and their handlers.
Yeah.
Like, are the dogs in fear of their handlers, or are they just like, is it a very loving relationship between the two?
Yeah.
To research their rest times between runs. So do they get adequate time to rest between their trips, or are they being worked back to back to back all day just to accommodate tourists?
Right.
And then actually the other thing was, how does the company handle the management of the trails? So are they going out and making sure, you know, trees haven't fallen over that the dogs could run into, not just in terms of, you know, the sled being able to move for the tourists, but are the trails being checked so that the dogs are safe?
And they're not going to injure themselves.
Exactly. Because they're up in front of everything. So if anything's going to happen, the dogs will come across it first.
Of course.
So those were the key things. And, you know, we did our research and I'm pretty comfortable going into this one.
Yeah. And this is, you know, it's all about doing your research. And it's one of those things, again, many years ago, being in Thailand, riding an elephant. I didn't do it then because I just was a much more inexperienced traveler. And it's just all about, you know, learning from your mistakes of the past. So I'm feeling good about it now.
Yes.
Snowshoeing. Have you ever been snowshoeing?
I did as a child when we would go on school trips.
Yeah.
I am honestly more worried about this than snowshoeing because I feel like I'm going to just be a sumo wrestler. Like,
I'm hoping we do the snowshoeing before the dog sledding, because I feel like we could definitely shed a bit of weight. Cause it is, I mean, I've done it before and it is tough on your glutes and your ass and your leg muscle, everything. It's a workout. Yeah. Like, it is a workout.
Well, so, it's a good thing we're doing all this working out now. We're getting ready.
Yeah.
Not just for the dogs, but
for ourselves. For our glutes, yeah.
Yeah, so that should be fantastic. And then that's just really in Alberta we've just talked about. But
yeah.
So you haven't ever really traveled, like done much sightseeing in Vancouver. I was there, I think, for one day. So I wouldn't say I've done a lot either.
No, and it's always funny because I feel like most Brits over here, and I don't know about the Aussies, but when I speak to Brits that have been to Canada, they've all been to Vancouver. Rarely do they go to Toronto, which I always do say for people that, you know, want to go to Canada on like a vacation, I always suggest going West Coast because that's where you see the picturesque, yeah, you know, Rocky Mountains, this and that. People will say, oh, you know, should I go to Toronto? And I'm like, Toronto's a living city. It's a
like
fun
Melbourne.
City. Yeah. But there's not a whole lot to see. And I do know people that have gone and they were sort of disappointed. And I'm like, well, what were you expecting? Like, it's not, you know, the picturesque Canada that you see on the postcards and all that. So, but yeah, I've spent lots of time in BC because my sister lives out there, but not Vancouver. She kind of lives in the middle of the sticks, which a lot of British Columbia is once you get out of, you know, Vancouver. And so, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. It looks like a very cool city. It's pretty mild in the winter as well. So I feel like we won't experience like the freezing cold winter like we will once we start
we will
venturing
soon after.
To like Saskatchewan and all that.
That was a huge consideration, though. It's just the weather. And it was the very first thing you said to me was, have you thought about the weather? Because obviously, yeah, Vancouver should be mild comparatively to the rest of Canada at that time.
Yeah. So only like -15.
We're driving through the Rocky Mountains and the prairies in the dead of the winter.
Yeah.
So we had to go all out on our rental. Mm. So not just normally I would rent like a mid-size sedan, do my thing. Whereas for this trip, it's like full on SUV, snow tires, snow chains if we need to get unstuck. We needed to factor in, you know, first aid and emergency situations. If our car broke down in the prairies and we have to sleep in it. Like a lot of those considerations for this trip
and
to plan for the worst.
And this is something I think people would overlook if, so, you know, Steph and I are both experienced winter drivers. Granted, I haven't driven, I mean, I don't drive on the regular anymore, but like, you know, growing up in Canada, obviously we know how to drive in the snow. Whereas you take a Brit or an Aussie,
you put
them in a car, like they have no idea. What do you do if your car slides?
And people assume too, because in some provinces like Quebec and I think Ontario, but they might not be like officially done this yet. Snow tires are a legal requirement in the winter now. They're not just optional. So people rent a car assuming it will have snow tires. Whereas in Vancouver, that is not a legal requirement. So you cannot assume if you rent a car that it's going to come with that. So it's something you need to arrange directly. Like
you
call them
and
say to them, we are driving to Toronto.
Yeah,
like, this cannot
be
an option for us. And then they note that down.
And you saying snow tires, it's so funny because, again, my Brit friends, I mentioned snow tires. They're like, what the hell is a snow tire? Like, it's not a thing here, right? So say you're someone traveling, you're doing a road trip in somewhere that's known for like harsh winters like Canada. And say, you're renting a car. You wouldn't even think to ask that, you know, it might not even be. So snow tires are a thing, guys. Driving in the winter and the snow and the sleet, it's a very different experience than just driving on hard road. Summer. Yeah. Like, a road trip across Canada in the summer or the spring versus the winter is a very different type of road trip. I did think that. I did say to Steph, you know, are we being silly? But you looked into this and actually...
I mean, I've never done it, so I could be wrong, but
from
my reading from other people who've done this, Toronto, like, we're driving through the Rockies, which sounds scary, but because Vancouver to Banff and Banff to Calgary are such a commonly traveled route throughout the winter, they apparently take amazing care of the roads, and we just need to be cautious, you know, if the snow's just fallen when we plan on driving and they haven't had time to clear the roads. And everything just says basically same as, you know, the drive I just did through the Northern Territory in the wet season. You need to be prepared because maybe you will get stuck like a day or two. So you need to be prepared if you have to wait a day or two or three for the roads to be cleared. that could be a reality we encounter.
Yeah, I think if anything, it's like giving yourself that extra time. Because I even remember when I was younger, we did a road trip. We drove from Ontario to BC, and this was in the summertime. But you know, another thing you have to take into consideration is wildlife. And when you're driving in the Rockies, I mean, I remember you are in the mountains, like you're literally in the mountains. And at any point, I mean, there's deer anyways everywhere, but they have very strict speed limits because if you've ever seen, I mean, people don't realize how big a moose is, right? Unless you've actually seen a moose up close. Like, again, to talk about my British friends, like when they talk about, they're like, how big is a moose? And I'm like, think of a horse, like times five. Like,
yeah,
they're huge. And when you're driving in the Rockies, you have to be so vigilant for not even just deer. I mean, I think it's a Canadian way of passage. If you've never hit a deer, I mean, I think everyone I know has hit a deer. Yeah, I have as well. And it sucks, but
it's awful.
It happens. But a deer is not really going to, you know, it's going to damage your car a bit, but fine. But a moose, if you hit a moose, you're probably right dead. Like that moose is going to crash into your, like the moose will be fine and it will trot off, maybe have like a broken leg or something, but you are fucked. So I remember when we were driving, they had really strict speed limits. And if you get caught speeding, and this, Steph, you need to bear this in mind because you've had a few
speeding. I'm not speeding in the winter.
No, I know. But they are very strict about the fines, and they're very high. The fines are like astronomically high, and you don't get like, you know, a warning or whatnot. So you combine, you know, snowy, slippery roads in the Rocky Mountains plus random moose jumping out at you, like, you know, it's going to be quite a ride.
It is. My mother sent me an article. They've changed because right now in Canada, you lose your license automatically if you're going 50 kilometers over the limit.
Yeah.
And they're changing that to 40. So if you're going over 40 kilometers, and she sends this to me for the road trip, and I'm like, do you think I'm going to be going 40 kilometers over the speed limit in the winter? We are going to be driving under the speed limit. But you actually just brought up a good point that I remembered is something that was completely impacted by COVID and how we scheduled this trip home was that normally Vancouver to Toronto, you would cross the Canada-US border actually a few times. Just the route, it makes more sense to drive through the northern states than
it's
actually
quicker.
Does through Canada.
And parts of Canada in the middle anyways. Like, again, no offense to Saskatchewan or Manitoba, but once you drive through there, there's not a whole lot to see, you know? And we are stopping in Saskatchewan to see. I've got some family there, so we're going to stop. But to be honest, you know, you see the picturesque stuff, and then that's where you sort of cross the border and go, all right, let's get through this quicker.
Yeah.
But obviously COVID has changed that.
But with COVID and the Canada-US border closure, now I anticipate from everything I'm reading that will actually be open by the time we're there.
Yeah.
But planning-wise, we couldn't assume it will. So our route, we actually had to do a longer route because we're going Vancouver, Calgary, Edmonton, Saskatoon, Winnipeg, Thunder Bay, which is like northern Ontario.
That's where it's going to be bad, the winter, the snow.
I was actually Googling the other day. I'm like, this is my Canadian geography ignorance, but I was like, is North Bay the Arctic? Because I didn't
well
know.
Be.
It's not. It's like it's subarctic. And it's going to be that Saskatoon, Winnipeg, Thunder Bay. I just called it North Bay. Thunder Bay trip is going to be a terror.
It's going to be, that's where we're going to need to wrap up and you get those winds. Because it's funny, the difference between like BC and Alberta, where you have all the mountains and it's very like sort of rocky terrain or whatever. As soon as you get to Saskatchewan, it is so flat. I remember when I was younger, I stayed out there with my aunt and uncle for like a few months. I was doing like some radio internship. I can't remember now. But I remember someone said to me like, oh, you're going to Saskatchewan. Well, you know, if you have a dog and if your dog runs away, it's fine because you'll be able to see your dog running for miles. Like,
yeah.
It's, so, but it's very flat. And I remember I was there in the middle of winter when I stayed out there. And I remember it was so cold and so windy. And it was, I had never experienced like a winter in my adulthood that I remember as cold and horrible as that. It was.
I've been to Saskatchewan in the winter. It is. Yeah.
It's something. We'll yeah.
see.
yeah.
We'll see. I think see, our we'll big see. Saskatchewan plan is we're going to maybe go see the Harlem Globetrotters, which is very
yeah,
random,
but
it's just how the timing works out.
It's great. I told my Aunt Trish, if you're listening, hi Aunt Trish. I said, Steph and I are coming. Can we come stay with you for a couple days? She's like, yep. We're going to see the Harlem Globetrotters, so you can come with us. I'm like, perfect. So we've got something to do there. But it'll be fun. It'll be good to see fam. Yeah. And then that drive back to Ontario. It's going to be...
That's going to be the uneventful. Everyone's like, don't plan to do much. Plan to drive. Be safe. And just arrive in one piece. So that's kind of the plan. I think COVID won't affect that part of the drive too much in terms of... you know, changes and what we need to take into consideration. So it's really just landing in the country, having our proof of vaccination and negative tests mm-hmm. for all these different activities we're doing. Same with hotels. We didn't really talk too much about accommodation, but booking hotels, they wanted proof of our vaccinations as well. So we have to show that when we check in. And for a lot of people, one thing they're going to have to factor in is, so, for example, in Australia, as soon as everyone here got vaccinated, we got these nice little government green certificates that were in our, you know, government and Medicare accounts. Mm-hmm. Those are not accepted as international vaccination documents.
Right.
They're in our MyGov account, which is how everything's run out of here. There's a button you need to click to say, you know, click here to generate certificate for international authorization. And it's a WHO approved form.
Yeah. We have the same thing here with NHS. Exact same thing. You have the app and you have to it's like you click on it. There's a little barcode kind of thingy. Same thing. So,
don't assume the documents you have. Tick the list. No. Double check that. Wherever you're from.
Triple check. Quadruple check everything. But it's going to be a good trip. And I'm sure we're going to have a lot more to tell you guys about it as we continue planning. But to wrap this up again, go enter the contest on our socials to win the $250 voucher to Red Balloon. I'm jealous, but I hope you're jealous of our Canadian road trip.
All right, guys, if you've ever done the Canadian road trip or any other, you know, trip, even American, through the winter, you've got any of your own tips, let us know.
Yeah.
We would love to hear those, and we will see you next time.
See ya.
All the Shit I've Learned Abroad is a travel podcast focused on anything and everything related to travel. You can listen to us on multiple platforms, from iTunes to Google Play Music and more. And with that, please, if you have a chance, give us a 5-star review on iTunes or whatever platform you listen on. That drives us up the charts and really, really helps us out. Want to support us on Patreon? Find us over at Shit I've Learned Abroad Pod. Donations start as low as just $1. Also, if you could follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Shit Abroad Pod, and Facebook by searching All the Shit I've Learned Abroad. Thanks so much for listening.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Treat mom to healthy, glowing skin with Osea's limited edition skincare sets. Osea has been making clean, seaweed-infused products for nearly 30 years. Their Golden Glow body set includes 3 clinically proven bestsellers for smooth, glowing skin, while the Glow and Go facial set provides spa-level results at home. Both sets come in giftable boxes with savings up to $48 and free shipping for a limited time. For 10% off your first order site-wide, go to oseamalibu.com and use code MOM.